We're going to look in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 3 and 4. Verse 3, "For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables." Let's pray. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for this time that we have together to study your word, Lord, and to think on what you have to say to us. Father, we pray that you speak to each person individually. You minister to their needs through your words, Lord. Pray that you help us to heed the warnings that you have for us, and that we would walk wisely in the world. And Father, we pray that you bless this service this evening. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
All right, so this message is entitled Faith, Not Fables. I'm not sure if you've probably thought about this before. I may be preaching to the choir. That's probably why half of you are only here tonight. But we'll see how we go. I know that the Lord often challenges us on the simple things just because we grow complacent. So that may be the case. We are all in church this evening. We've all had some exposure to the Bible. Hopefully we know a little bit about this man named Jesus, if we've been paying attention. And so we've got some idea about the Bible stories, right? The more famous ones like Jesus walking on water and Noah in the ark, Moses parting the Red Sea, and David and Goliath, and so on. However, true familiarity with biblical history and even the more spectacular events of Scripture is becoming rarer and rarer as more people turn away from God in our modern time. Atheism, which is really just the love of self, is fast becoming the religion of the day, and the church is having less influence on society. This isn't news to anyone who hasn't been living under a rock. So since the beginning of Christendom in the West, people have never been more biblically ignorant. Even your average churchgoer knows precious little about what actually happens in the Bible because churches aren't preaching the whole counsel of God. They've shunned it. In much of the literature that I've read from Europe and America and anywhere really where a form of Christianity was the norm, Scripture is referenced countless times. The Bible is quoted over and over again. And even a godless writer like Shakespeare, for instance, probably knew more Bible than a lot of people who pose as church leaders today. So Scripture was everywhere. It saturated the society. You could quote it in a book about a white whale, for instance, and everyone would get the reference. Everyone would know what you're talking about. So whether or not you believed it, you were going to hear all about it. It's not so much the case today. Now, because there is less Bible knowledge, fables have instead become more and more common. Now we live in the time of 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 3 to 8. Second Peter chapter 3. "Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lusts, and saying, Where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. But the heavens and the earth, which are now by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day." So as we read in verse 6, "whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished." People today are willingly ignorant of the flood. Among ancient cultures, it was commonly believed that the whole earth had once been overflowed with water. The Epic of Gilgamesh, for instance, is a Mesopotamian religious text from about 700 BC, which has similarities to the Genesis account, among many other ancient texts chronicling such an event. Although these are false religions, they show us that people once understood this about the earth's history. It was taken for granted that this had happened, that there was a great deluge. Now people deny this, and instead we have climate change nutters who rave that actually the flood is going to happen in the future. It hasn't happened yet. when all the ice caps melt, apparently. So they show themselves to be doubly ignorant of God's word in this. First that they deny it in the past, and now that they say that it's coming, they're clearly willfully ignorant of what God says in Genesis chapter 9, verses 8 to 17, which is our next scripture. This is what the Lord had to say after he had flooded the earth and the waters receded. And God spake unto Noah and to his sons with him, saying, And I establish my covenant with you, and with your seed after you, and with every living creature that is with you, of the fowl, of the cattle, and of every beast of the earth with you, from all that go out of the ark to every beast of the earth. And I will establish my covenant with you, neither shall all flesh be cut off any more by the waters of a flood, neither shall there any more be a flood to destroy the earth. And God said, This is the token of the covenant which I make between me and you and every living creature that is with you for perpetual generations. I do set my bow in the cloud, and it shall be for a token of a covenant between me and the earth. And it shall come to pass when I bring a cloud over the earth that the bow shall be seen in the cloud, and I will remember my covenant which is between me and you and every living creature of all flesh. And the waters shall no more become a flood to destroy all flesh. God has said he will never flood the earth again. So this ignorance has nothing to do with a lack of access to the truth. No, in the 21st century, man is willingly ignorant because at our fingertips we have instant access to the Word of God. We live in a time when it has never been easier to read the Bible. Amen. And people are more literate than they have ever been. So the internet, mobile phones, gives us the ability to carry around the Bible and good godly commentaries wherever we go. And the Bible is still the most abundantly printed book of all time. You can even read scripture underwater if you wish. So there's no excuse. People will have no excuse when they stand before the throne of judgment. What we see today, and this is true of false religions, as I mentioned earlier, is that the unbeliever would rather have their own version of the truth straight out of and pandering to their vain imagination. There have always been corrupted versions of biblical truth, and the Epic of Gilgamesh is one such example. And today is no exception. So Hollywood, great film industry, has even jumped on that bandwagon and produced films that appeal to the ignorant tastes of an apostate age. They deal in fables, after all, and a fable is really just a fantastic story meant to tell a moral, right? To seem to convey some sort of truth. I've seen a few of these movies in the past that Hollywood has created based on Bible themes. And you can bet they don't advertise them as based on a true story, though. Because if they did, they'd probably have to be more careful to stick to the actual source. So I've given up waiting for a faithful movie depicting the events of Scripture. I've seen enough, and I know better that the agenda is about money. It's only ever been about entertainment. The real story just doesn't appeal to the broad way. God gave the commandment not to fashion any image to represent him. In Exodus chapter 20, verse 4, you can see that. I believe that so-called biblical movies of today are an affront to God because they attempt just that. They are a copy of the truth which misleads people into believing that is the real thing rather than what God has sufficiently provided in the Bible. Every movie I have ever seen depicting Christ, for instance, totally contradicts Scripture on two really important points. The only description we have of Jesus' appearance, after all, is in Scripture. And it tells us that he was not Hollywood handsome. Isaiah 53, verse 2, tells us that he hath no form nor comeliness that we should desire him. And also, we can know that he did not have long hair. From 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 14, where Paul says, Doth not even nature itself teach you that if a man have long hair, it is a shame unto him? Wrong on both accounts, Hollywood. If they can't even get simple things like that right, what else do you get, what else can you expect them to get wrong? They don't care about being faithful to the biblical account because all they care about is money and making fables. Two examples as well come to mind, which show how much license the world takes with telling the Bible stories. The Hollywood actor Russell Crowe, in an interview, said of Noah that he stood by while the whole world perished, and that he was not the benevolent sort of guy that people see him as. So the same crow starred in a movie called Noah. I don't know if you remember it from 2014. He's vastly misunderstanding what the word has to say about Noah's character. Turn with me, please, to 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 4 to 5. For if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell, and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment, and spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly. Noah did not stand by. He offered the only escape through Jesus Christ's righteousness. He spent his time preaching Jesus Christ. The same movie also has Noah preparing to kill his twin grandchildren because Noah was deceived into believing that God actually wanted to totally annihilate mankind, which, of course, Noah understood was never God's agenda. And in another Hollywood treasure called Exodus, Gods and Kings, the parting of the waters, which Moses performs through God's power, is shown to be a gradual receding of the Red Sea, something like a tidal ebb, rather than how it's described in Exodus 14, verse 21-22, which is an amazing, miraculous event that the Jews would remember forever after. Exodus 14, 21-22, and Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all that night, and made the sea dry land, and the waters were divided. And the children of Israel went into the midst of the sea upon the dry ground, and the waters were a wall unto them on their right hand and on their left. No walls of water in that movie. And God also is represented as a child with a shaved head when he speaks to Moses. These movies are dangerous because they lie. They give people the wrong story, the wrong idea about Scripture. They deny the sufficiency of the Word of God because of these fables people are told over and over. The world has become not just ignorant about what the Bible actually says, they believe it says something totally contrary. So many times I've had to unlearn this garbage since becoming a Christian, false versions of things that I'd seen in movies or read in children's books. David, for instance, is another example. It's so often shown as the boy shepherd when he confronts Goliath, even though Scripture describes him very differently during this event. Let's read 1 Samuel chapter 16, verses 17 to 20. These images come so ingrained, we have to pay attention to what the word actually says. And Saul said unto his servants, provide me now a man that can play well, and bring him to me. Then answered one of the servants and said, behold, I have seen a son of Jesse the Bethlehemite, that is cunning in playing, and a mighty valiant man, and a man of war, and prudent in matters, and a comely person, and the Lord is with him. Wherefore Saul sent messages unto Jesse, and said, send me David thy son, which is with the sheep. And Jesse took an ass laden with bread, and a bottle of wine, and a kid, and sent them by David his son unto Saul. So this was before he even fought Goliath. A mighty valiant man. It's a far cry from the boy who's so often depicted confronting the Philistine giant. When it comes to getting the right versions, we must know the Bible back to front and stay away from man's attempts to twist and add to Bible history. Let us trust the witness of the Word itself to show us how events actually took place. We'll close now in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 6 to 8. If thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine, whereunto thou hast attained. But refuse profane and old wives' fables, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness. For bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is, and of that which is to come. Let's pray.